And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
Hear that podcast growling,
mean and angry.
Hear that co-host shouting,
it's Daner and Jay.
This episode of Hear That Podcast Growlin' is sponsored by Visa, network working for everyone. Paul Year Jr. and Jay Morrison of The Athletic here with you for the walkout on a day where the Bengals get beat up and blown out of their own building 41-16 by the Cleveland Browns. The Browns return the favor that the Bengals gave to the Ravens, and everything's a mess. It's all gone the wrong way, Jay. You know, from the penthouse to the outhouse in 2 weeks. It happens that fast. We talked about it when they went to 5-2, it's always amazing how quickly things change. I can't say I saw this change coming after we left M&T Bank Stadium in Baltimore.
I didn't see this coming when we got here today. Someone asked me, you know, if I thought it could be a blowout, and I said I'd be stunned if it was a blowout one way or the other, and yet here we are. After a blowout, the third largest margin of victory of the Browns over the Bengals in 96 games. It just, everything that could have gone wrong pretty much did. And the good news for Bengals and their fans is the Bengals know what they got to do to fix it. They just got to get better.
That's all there is, right?
Yeah.
All right, end of show, right? Everyone, thanks for coming. Just got to get better, right? There's a few interesting things to discuss, not just about this game, about when you kind of look at things going forward now as you reset at them at 5-4, coming off these two bad losses, you know, the meltdown in New York and now getting your butts kicked at home in front of 65,000, you know, against the Browns. And it's, who is this team at this point? You know, were they figured out? Were people taking them lightly early on? Did we start to see some of the luck of people not knowing how good Ja'Marr Chase was, people not knowing how this team was constituted? Is this who they are? Was this just some days it goes sideways? I mean, we're going to spend 2 weeks doing that because you've got a bunch of time between now and the trip to Vegas to figure things out. There's a lot of mirrors to be looked in. I think some of the stuff said post game was interesting. I will get to that.
Yeah,
I want to start with this. How about a run, pass, or boot to start?
Okay.
All right. Blame game. Defense. Burrow. Receivers.
That's tough. I mean, when you lose by 25, it's everybody. But if you're picking most blame today, that is really tough. I think I'd have to lean Burrow as my run. I mean, you just can't make that throw. The first one that ended up being a pick six, it's kind of like the interception in New York, where it's like you're saying, how can you throw that ball? And that's just, you spin and it's there and you got to trigger. This one, he had time to see it. And I don't necessarily think it was a bad decision. It was just a bad throw. He left it too far inside. Maybe it was a bad decision because Chase wasn't that open. But the receivers had a lot of drops today. And it felt like I could be wrong on this, but it felt like most of them came later in the game when they started pressing and you had to have them, but it could have changed. The deep ball to Ja'Marr could have changed things. The touchdown obviously can change things. The T. Higgins one could have changed things. And I'm going to boot the defense but not absolve him. I mean, I feel like this one was far more on the offense, and they didn't tackle well, but a lot of teams don't tackle well against Nick Chubb in the Browns running game. So again, not absolving them, but I'm going to boot the defense.
Yeah, everybody was bad, and perhaps it should have been a defense passing game coaching to throw in the all together, right? I mean, if we're going to throw in all this is under your purview here, everybody wasn't good. But the thing is, I think you're right. As ugly as the moments were for the defense, and they're a problem right now, and I don't know that we saw that coming, considering what they had been. It didn't seem like all of a sudden you would see these major issues that they're having. Maybe teams have figured them out a little bit. You can only put them in terrible spots so many times. Mm-hmm. I mean, the turnovers, this is how games go sideways in the NFL, is when you do dumb turnovers. And you think about it, you look at the possession chart, you're talking about the game starts with a pick six, the ultimate bad field position, but you start it with the pick six. Your first seven possessions, if you even go a little further, you start with the interception, you come back and get the touchdown, then a turnover on downs, which is basically a turnover. You give them the ball right there at the 40 with a weirdo play call where you're throwing the ball down the field and not enough underneath stuff. Then you have the fumble by Ja'Marr Chase. You get the field goal before halftime. You punt, and then you have the interception. And it's 31-10.
Yeah.
I mean, four of your first seven possessions essentially end in a turnover. Meanwhile, Cleveland's taken over with the ball in the end zone, for one. They're taking over at their own 40, at the Bengals' 30. The Bengals 8. It's over. This is the NFL. Like, you know, teams don't win games when that is the way, the template. When that's how it's set up, when that's what you have to overcome, teams don't win games. And you throw in two explosives on top of it with the long run by Chubb, and that's how you end up at 41-16. I don't see every game going this. I think there's something that was said correctly, is that everyone's going to overreact. We're not going to overreact. I do think there's an overreaction to this. But I also don't expect them to turn the ball over this much going forward. There's a lot of problems to talk through. But I do think there is a circumstantial nature to how much they got embarrassed today.
Yeah. And I mean, I thought it was impressive the pick six, they come right back and drive right back down and get the touchdown, and you're back to square. I mean, it should have been 14-0 Bengals or 14-7 Bengals, depending on what the Browns would have done when they eventually got possession after a kickoff. But I thought that was huge. But the other ones, you're right. It's just you can't overcome it. When they start mounting like that, it's one thing to have a bad mistake and then you come back and you overcome it with a strong drive. But the way it just kept snowballing, and really, like, it's an anything can happen league. And so last week is one of those, yeah, those kind of things happen. Today was far worse. It was a far bigger surprise. I think it said more about this team, because it's a division game. It's at home. It's not starting flat. It's not none of those things that the Jets game was. This was right there for them. And to come out and get, not only lose, but get blown out like this, it's something that they're going to really have to address, and it's not the way you want to go into a bye. Limping in, two-game losing streak, lose to a one-win team, lose to a division rival by 25, they've got to get it figured out. And you can't let the season snowball the way they let this game snowball.
I mean, because at the end of the day, you come out of this thing, you're 5-4. You are still in the mix. It's a disappointing 5-4 at the bye, you know, when you consider where you were at and where you were at 31-20 in New York in the fourth quarter. This makes the Jets game sting.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing. That's why you got to put the damn Jets away when you're up in the fourth quarter by 11, because it's hard to win against a team like the Browns, and it's going to be hard to win the rest of the way. You know, that's how it snowballs. When you don't win the games that you have in hand against teams that, you know, you should be putting away, you end up with it, because you can have things like this. I wrote a little bit about Burrow and the interceptions this week and out. So every interception has a story, as everyone has said. They hadn't put a lot of them on Burrow, but the number was 9, and he had thrown a lot. And then today, though, these are on, you know, in a lot of ways, these are on him, and they're absolute killers. The other side of it was, though, Ja'Marr Chase had an awful day.
Yes.
And T. Higgins had moments, but he had two particularly bad moments. The one in the end zone before halftime takes 4 points off and changes the dynamic of how you feel coming out at half. Chase, it's hard to count up how many mistakes he had, because you had a drop in an end zone, you had a fumble, you had the deep ball drop as they're trying to come back late, which was an absolute dime and exactly what they needed down 34-16. If you're trying to come back and get back into it, about 10 minutes left. I'm not saying they would have come back, but again, hits him right in his hands. He is the one trying to get open on the 99-yard pick six. It is a ball coming in his direction on the other pick. I wrote it down a couple of times in the game, particularly as I watched Tyler Boyd's stat sheet not move.
Yeah.
Are they forcing it into Chase too much? Is Burrow relying too heavily on Ja'Marr Chase? And that's a weird thing to say, considering how much we've rightfully lauded him for his first half of the season. But I can't get behind any game plan that ends up with 13 targets for Ja'Marr Chase, 8 for T. Higgins, 3 for Drew Sample, for God's sakes.
3 for Samaje Perine.
And 2 for Tyler Boyd, and really nothing until you got to the fourth quarter with one little catch on underneath. Basically a total non-factor. There's no way you should be in a situation where Tyler Boyd is a non-factor in your offense and you're trying to squeeze the ball in and getting turnovers going the other direction. That's not saying it's not a good throw to your best receiver. Obviously, that's fine. And weird things happen. I totally understand. Some weeks the matchups dictate this. Some weeks that. Tyler Boyd needs to be more involved. You can't get into a way where you're forcing the Burrow to Chase connection. Teams are too good for that. And Denzel Ward was too good for that today.
Mm-hmm. And that's one area that Browns defense, they're not great in the slot. It was Troy Hill that was in the slot. How are you not throwing the ball more to Tyler Boyd? And you ask the question, are they forcing it to Ja'Marr Chase too much? Well, they handed him the ball twice today. Mm-hmm. They've only done it once all year. That was last week. They do it twice today. And the one, again, that was a Ja'Marr Chase mistake where he just kind of stretched. He was waiting for some huge hole to open and he just stretched it out and it turned into a nothing play. If he just turns that up right away, he gets 3 or 4. They get a little closer to the end zone. It's surprising. And you know, obviously every play has reads and options. So you don't know. Is that Joe Burrow just not even looking for Tyler Boyd? Is Tyler Boyd the third or fourth option? And the Browns pass rush is getting there so fast that Burrow doesn't even have time to get there. But you need plays where Tyler Boyd is the primary target. And especially on third downs where he's so, so good. And I think he had, what, one target in the first quarter, and then the next one didn't come until the fourth quarter.
The target in the first quarter was the weirdo throw it downfield on 4th and 3.
Yeah.
And so, look, they had a big problem with drops today. You know who hadn't dropped a ball all year?
TB.
83. And that's if that's your plan, if that and I don't, it's hard to know how much was plan, how much was just Burrow kind of leaning on his guy. Mm-hmm. I don't know, but you need to be an offensive distribution, and they weren't today. They were an offensive looking for number one a lot. And Higgins, too, you know, in, again, those big moments, and it's fitting, there's a 4th and 15 heave, but another jump ball that goes right off of his hands at the end. And it's like, this is part of the problem.
All right, let's take a second and switch gears here and hear from a sponsor.
Looking for an assist with your credit card, but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Don't just ride the index, seek to outperform it with Fidelity Active ETFs. Learn more at fidelity.com/active ETFs. Before investing in any exchange-traded fund, you should consider its investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Contact Fidelity for a prospectus, an offering circular, or if available, a summary prospectus containing this information. Read it carefully. While active ETFs offer the potential to outperform an index, these products may more significantly trail an index as compared with passive ETFs. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
The thing is, the other thing is, you know, in the common thought after this is, okay, this is who we thought they were. Okay, they had their first opening thing here and kind of gave a little false hope. This is who they thought they were. A defense that's really not that great. An offense that should be explosive, but, you know, a team that plays sloppy. I think what we saw today was maybe what we thought we were going to see in the first couple weeks of the season more, in the first 3-4 weeks of the season. A team that had to figure things out on defense. We didn't – Jamar Chase was going to be inconsistent. You know, all that. This, to me, that's what I thought it would look like. And the fact that it didn't for 7 weeks really, you know, and now all of a sudden you have a day like this. Maybe it's just a bad day, but you do worry that they go into a challenging second half of the season and this is who they are. We just don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it would be one thing if all those wins came against bad teams, but that one win against Baltimore, I think, kind of makes you not say this is who we thought they were, because there was nothing fluky about that. They showed they belong on the big stage. I almost kind of equate it to, you know, they talk about rookies hitting the rookie wall, and maybe that's some of what's going on with Jamar Chase, even though not he's played 14 game season. We're only 9 in, but maybe it's reading the clippings and it's getting into the long part of the season, that kind of thing. But maybe as a whole, as a team, it's a rookie team in the sense of a team that hasn't been in this position as the hunted, as they win, and maybe there's a little bit of that going on. They hit this part of the season where they're not used to dealing with prosperity, and it's something they've got to get figured out. So in that regard, maybe the bye week does come at the best time. It could have gone the other way if they are 6-2 or at this point, or 6-3. I mean, you go into the bye feeling so good about yourself, and you come out and get whacked. Maybe now they come back with a real purpose and a real intensity. And you're right, it doesn't get any easier, but there are – I don't think there's anybody on that schedule you say they can't compete with. And even if they go 500 in the second half of the season, they're right there in the mix. There's a shot at playoffs. So it feels like they're far away today because this game was so bad. But in reality, I don't think they are that far away from getting back to where they were at 5-2.
Before the season, I predicted them to finish 8-9 and be 4-5 at the bye. And I feel like I don't think that is necessarily that far off where you're saying 9-8, 10-7. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, and that will be right there in the mix to make the postseason. And wasn't that what we were expecting before this year started? Wasn't that – I understand expectation change, and we did it. Time to reset the expectations for the season. They had reset themselves. Well, now that's the disappointing part is now they're kicking those expectations in the gut a little bit, you know. The reset that they set themselves up for. They're healthy, you're in good position, and it's just a really tough couple of weeks. Teams go through a tough couple of weeks, I will say that. And, you know, Zach Taylor kind of was very definitive after the game. Yeah. We are going to be contenders in December and January. Teams that win lots of games and win in the playoffs lose back-to-back games during the season. It happens to everybody. It happened to us right now. Was it just that today your quarterback, your guy, your franchise guy had a bad day? And your defense was forced in some tough spots and played poor in some big spots. Is that maybe what it was? Maybe. Here's the thing, you know, the other side is now, okay, we spent all year hearing about this culture. And everybody loves each other. And we all go out to eat together. And we love Jeff Ruby and all this stuff. Okay. But there is an inherent unspoken thing in that is that you – that is what gets you through the tough times. That is the idea, is that because when it does go sideways, things will be right. And to a person, everybody that came up was talking about and giving specific examples of personal accountability, no finger pointing, You want to know why they believe they're going to be fine from this? Every answer was the same. It was, we just believe in the way people are in the locker room, who we have in the locker room, the accountability that everybody's taken, and the fact that there's not finger pointing. I mean, Sam Hubbard said, I've been in lots of different teams, lots of locker rooms. You know, and you get the feel when the finger pointing started. He didn't have to say it. We all knew it. The last two teams I've been on were full of finger pointing. Mm-hmm. And three, go back to 18. And, I mean, lots of finger pointing that was happening there. Last year, it was finger pointing on Twitter, sell my house, right? And there's the locker room faction. They believe and have sold that a big reason they were successful was because of that fact of having the right setup, the right foundation in place. And now we have to believe that what they're believing in is that is what will get them through this rough patch and coming out on the other side. I don't know. It may all be phooey, but we're all probably going to learn together a little bit.
I mean, CJ brought it up a couple of times. It's one thing to have the right kind of dudes, but to have talented guys on top of that. That's what he kept saying. The reason he believed that this isn't going to snowball, he said the two guys that came before me, Joe and Joe, you've got Joe Burrow, you've got Joe Mixon, you've got real talent on this team. So if you can have that other kind of unpredictable, intangible element of cohesiveness and culture, and I guess you would call it thumb pointing. I've heard people say that before. You don't point the finger, you point the thumb at yourself. If they've got that, then that's enough reason to believe that they can get this turned around, and it's not going to turn into something ugly. It's not going to be a repeat of 2018 where it just fell apart and they couldn't stem the tide.
CJ gave the specific example of I'm talking to Ja'Marr Chase on the sideline, and he even said I was talking to him in the shower, and you know, we're sitting there and we're talking about it. He's just only blaming himself and talking about all the things that he did wrong, what he could have done, and there's no anybody else involved. And he's like, and that's everywhere. That's everyone. The personal conversations I have, what you hear in the locker room, the general feel, there's not that stuff. Now, we're not in the locker room. Same thing I said last year when there was, is it toxic? Well, nobody can know that for sure. This is one of those games that to talk about culture and locker room is cute, but we have no idea because we're not in there. And so you don't know. That could just be guys on the podium saying the right thing. And I think that's just it. You'll learn because you can't fake it. And, you know, it just doesn't get easier. It just doesn't get easier. And so we'll see how they come out of the bye. But for now, they're a team that is 5-4 and back in the basement of the AFC North after being at the top of it. 2 weeks ago, number one seed in the AFC, top of the AFC North, crowned. Today, basement.
It happens. Life comes at you fast.
And life does come at you fast. We will continue to come at you as well, of course, we'll have our podcast on Tuesday. We'll see what pops off here through the bye week. But, of course, lots of stuff coming your way as we lead over the next couple of weeks towards the game in Vegas that I know Jay's excited for.
Can't wait.
which will be great. Shout out to our guy Paul Malloy in London, who is absolutely awesome and has been a follower since way back in the day, and is going to do Jay a solid and give him a little special tour of really all of that side of the country, it appears. So shout out to Paul Malloy.
Helicopter tour of the Grand Canyon. Not to turn this into Survivor talk, but every time my wife and I watch Survivor and you see these helicopter tours, they get our rewards. It looks so amazing. And they all talk about how life-changing it is. And I've been to the Grand Canyon, but I've never been in a helicopter. I'm really looking forward to that.
Really, the message here is that, look, you all can hang out with us if you'd like. Just give us like really nice things like helicopter tours of the Grand Canyon. We'd be happy to come along.
I will be happy to go to the Golden Knights Blue Jackets game the night before Raiders Bengals if any of you have an extra ticket.
We really appreciate all. In fact, anybody would do this is beyond my capacity for rational thought. Thanks to everybody for listening. I hope you guys enjoy the podcast, even on days like this where maybe you're not so happy about the result on the field. But look, as we say when we made the podcast in the very beginning, look, it's part football, part therapy. Today, you're on the couch. All right. So it's all right. There will be more games, and we'll talk about them. So thanks, everybody, for listening to The Walkout. And we'll talk to you next time. Have a good one, everybody.
Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.